Welcome to Just Break Up, the podcast about love, heartbreak, and all the relationship advice you don't want to hear. My name is Sierra DeMolder.
And I'm Sam Blackwell. This week, we're going to tackle topics like losing your virginity, why men great till they gotta be great, why comparison is an act of violence against yourself, and what to do when your happiness turns to ashes in your mouth.
Ooh, Game of Thrones quote.
That's right.
Starting us out on the right foot.
But before we begin, we want to give you a Surgeon General's warning, which is that we don't know anything.
Nothing.
We are clueless.
Oh my God, what a good movie.
We're like two Cher Horowitzes sitting here.
As if.
We're just two virgins who can't drive.
Oh my God. That's so real. Like I feel attacked, but also like a sense of community.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, so this is all to say we don't know what we're talking about. Please take our advice as you see fit in your life. We're just here to offer our humble musings to hopefully shed some understanding and maybe some laughs on the incredibly rewarding and mostly confusing experience that is love.
Great.
Welcome to episode 8, Sam.
Is it episode 8?
It's episode freaking 8. Am I wrong?
I think it's 7.
It's definitely episode 7. It's definitely episode 7, so...
Our producer is giving us cues that it's definitely 7.
All right, well, you know, this is me just... Look it, I'm trying to live in the future, y'all. I'm trying to dream big.
That's it, yeah.
Anyway, I'm just... Yeah, okay. Welcome to lucky number 7.
Yes, very lucky.
Joke. That was just a joke. Not, just trying to keep you on your toes.
Great.
Anyway, so the listeners at home now know that you're engaged. And
that's
we had
right.
your bachelor party this weekend.
Oh my God, it was so much fun.
It was so much fun. I'm just going to share one highlight, and that is scream singing Defying Gravity from Wicked on a pontoon while the boat goes 30 miles per hour with you.
It was great because we couldn't actually like hear the music that well.
Right,
so we
had
like,
to interpret it ourselves
Yeah, absolutely.
With our lung capacity. It was really beautiful.
Yeah, no, it was great. We had quite a few White Claws at that point.
Yeah.
Just to give people the context
of
why we were doing that.
Maybe I'll post some pictures from the weekend, PG pictures.
You should. Also, one of the greatest parts of that weekend was when we just played the Mamma Mia soundtrack and then acted it out as a group.
Yeah, that was the gayest bachelor party of my life.
Oh, it was fantastic.
Anyway, so we have a check-in question this week.
We do. And this is another question from a listener that we thought was so good that we wanted to...
Muse
about it a little bit. So this is from Crystal from New Zealand.
What's up, New Zealand?
What? Crystal asks, what are important things that you should know about someone before you commit to being in a relationship with them? Any certain questions that should be asked?
Such a great question.
It is.
So before we answer this, these are not like all first date questions.
Imagine sitting down with someone
and was like, hey, so are you Gemini 6'9 from Tinder? Do you want to have kids?
Right. Don't do that.
Yeah. Anyway.
It's a little intimidating.
But these are questions maybe that you should ask, like Crystal writes, before you commit to a relationship or maybe even bigger steps in your relationship.
Yeah, for sure.
Like moving in or getting married or whatever.
Yep.
And Sam and I thought of a couple. First of all, like, what's your general lifestyle like? You know, sometimes I've been madly in love with someone, but like their lifestyle didn't match the lifestyle that I wanted.
Yeah.
And maybe like my love was actually a little bit more of an obsession or an adoration and not true love. Like it was faking me out.
Right. Yeah.
And I forgave or didn't look at the parts of their lifestyle that I didn't agree with or maybe didn't align with me because of my obsession or adoration with them. Does that make sense? So like lifestyle.
Yeah.
Are they living a life you want to live with them?
So is this like, they're like a runner and you like could never date a runner?
No. Although.
I just feel like you're being very vague with like what lifestyle means.
Well, I mean, I guess it's more like it could be that. Although like opposites totally attract and like
true.
You don't have to be exactly the same as your partner. I actually highly suggest that you don't date yourself essentially. But I'm thinking like, you know, let's be clear. I'm a drinker. I enjoy a beverage, a white clur here and there. But maybe you are a sober person trying to date and the person you're trying to date drinks a little bit too much out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
That's not like definitely a no-go, but these are just questions to ask yourself. Does my lifestyle, do our lifestyles fit together in a way that is healthy for all of us and sustainable and whatever?
That's good.
Maybe another example is like, I don't know. Can you help me?
For lifestyle?
Yeah. I don't know. Do they continually vote to oppress human civil liberties?
Okay. Political podcast. Here we come.
I don't know. What were you going to say?
No, I mean, but also, like, do they want to, like, spend a lot of time in the country? Or, where is their preferred place of living? Because, like...
Oh, that's a great one.
If you're like, I wanna live in a big city, and the other person is like, I could never move to New York, Los Angeles, whatever it looks like, that would be something that you would want to consider.
Right.
If that is your dream and aspiration, and the other person, that's a no-go for them.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
There are also questions... So, like, it's hard because, like... What does committed relationship mean at this point? So, like, there are some questions that you for sure want to talk to someone before you, like, pop the question or, like, get married, which is, like, do you want to have children? Like, what is, like, how much debt do you have? Like, what is your financial life like? But those aren't necessarily something that you need to ask before you just commit to, like, an exclusive relationship with someone.
Right. So... I joked about political views earlier, but I think that's really important.
Yeah.
I think it's at least important to me.
Absolutely.
To know where that person's... I don't like to, like, put blanket statements over people, so it's not like I would automatically not date a Republican. but there would just have to be some conversations, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, weren't you just watching a documentary about a couple that was... One was a Republican and one was a Democrat?
Yeah, I was watching it because I didn't understand. I was trying to educate myself, Sam.
Was it in any way illuminating for you?
It was. They were also more, they like lived in Washington and worked in government.
Oh.
And they worked a lot on like, you know, bipartisanship parties or like, mm-hmm. or initiatives.
Yeah.
So they are the future of our government, you know. And that they're trying to mend the huge gaping wound that sits between our two parties.
Yeah.
But yeah, are you a cat or dog person? Mm-hmm. You can ask them that.
That's important. I love telling people that they have to be either or.
Because you're irrational.
but if you, you know, have a dog, you should make sure that person likes dogs.
Yeah. Also, like... It's funny because I know that all of these things can be overcome for the right person. You know, like,
oh, for sure.
I could date somebody who really, really wanted to own snakes if I loved them.
I'm going to say no to that. If you married someone who owned snakes, I'm like, would we? We would just have to hang out outside the house.
You're just so judgmental, and I love you for it. But, also, like, think about your love languages.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's a great question to ask someone that you are sort of getting to know.
Yeah.
To say, like, what are the things that convey love to you and how do you show it?
Yeah, totally. And obviously, like, a lot of this stuff is going to come out organically, like mm-hmm. the more playful things we're saying.
Yeah.
And you will see, Crystal, or whoever out there is wondering, like, what makes you compatible and mm-hmm. what makes you not compatible. Like Sam said, some of the bigger questions should be asked before a bigger step is taken in a relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because you don't want to start a marriage or buy a house with somebody who five years down the line has a totally different view of what they want their life to look like than mm-hmm. you. And my dad always used to say this dumb sort of sexist saying. Don't get me wrong, my dad is amazing and hyper liberal, and but he's like a man's man. And he always said, like, women marry men hoping that they change, and men marry women hoping that they wouldn't, or something like that. And, like, by the time I was 14 and he said that to me, like, 30 times, I was like, maybe you should unpack that, Dad. Like, maybe this is why you're divorced. But anyway.
Anyways, here's coming for her dad in this episode.
I love my dad, just so everybody knows.
She does. She talks to him all the time.
Yeah, I talk to him almost every day because he's still divorced.
But also, family, great question to ask about, too.
Yeah.
What is your family structure? How close are you to them? You know, because...
Yeah, what's important to you?
Right.
you know? Okay, let me be a big nerd for a second and talk about your wedding. In Sam's guest bedroom, there's like post-it notes up on the wall of a brainstorm session that him and his fiance did, and it's like a timeline leading up to the wedding, but then also below that there's just post-it notes of like what they brainstormed they wanted their wedding to be like, and it's words like fun and genuine and like friends and family and charming ass bullshit that like makes me super emotional to look at, because they like boil down what they truly wanted that day to be to them, and I fucking cry every time I see it. And I think about that, like, what is important to you and your partner before you take the next step? Like, see if you can boil it down to those post-it notes.
Wow. I love how you make me sound like
so
the
awesome.
Most romantic, like,
yeah,
perfect
actually,
person.
That's so true. Like, I do think that Sam's relationship is really cute, but they're not particularly romantic.
No, like, we're not.
Like, Sam doesn't like PDA. They don't like grand gestures. Like,
no.
Yeah. Their whole couple's like engagement photo shoot, they were uncomfortable.
Well, okay. It's uncomfortable.
To lean your forehead against
your partner.
We're like
out in the middle of a park. She's like, stand with your like pelvises together and put your foreheads together. And I'm like, we have never done this.
I'm going to post some of these pictures the week you get married. Anyway, so Crystal, and to anybody out there who's interested in questions to be asked before you take the next step to commit to be in a relationship, hopefully that gives you some fodder for your little heart's desire.
And here's the thing. You can never be fully prepared to get into a relationship.
Totally.
Like, there are always going to be things that come out of the woodwork that you didn't know.
Absolutely.
And so entering into a relationship is always a risk. You can't ask the right questions to get out of that risk. But just figure out what's important to you and make sure that you're holding true to that.
Amen, amen, amen. All right, all right, all right.
Thanks, Matthew McConaughey.
That's who I was channeling at the lake house this weekend. All right, y'all. So let's get into our first question. The first question is from Mia Anonymous, who is writing from Southern California. Mia writes, first of all, I love the podcast. Y'all are wonderful, and I absolutely super appreciate all the advice you're giving out. Thank you, Mia.
Thank you.
I'm starting out my second year of college next month, and I'm still a virgin. I know I shouldn't be embarrassed, but I still can't help but feel self-conscious about it. When I think about the lack of experience I have, it makes me panic and afraid to try anything with anyone, especially because I'm afraid I won't be good. That fear pushes me further into the circle of embarrassment, and I end up right where I started. In addition, I feel like because I've waited this long, there's a sort of pressure to wait to be physically intimate with someone I know well and trust a lot. While I feel like this would make me more comfortable, I feel like the waiting for the exact right person is only adding to the anxiety surrounding sex, and I don't want to build up an experience in my mind just to have it end up being a major letdown. Mm. How do I get over the fear of not performing well because of lack of experience? How do I encourage myself to get over the fear of being physically intimate with someone? And how do I remind myself I shouldn't feel the need to catch up to people my age in terms of experience? Mm. Mia, what a wonderful question. Thank you so much for writing in. So I'm going to change the name of the podcast to Just Have Sex. Just kidding.
I was going to make that exact same joke.
So I want to, we're going to respond to this in a couple different parts. Mm-hmm. Obviously, take our advice as you see fit. Sam and I think you should just have sex.
Yeah.
And we don't mean that in like a whore you out kind of way. No, bad joke?
That's a weird thing to say. It's
okay. All right. Well, I just mean like we're not trying to put you in any situation you don't want to be in.
Yes.
But we are here to deconstruct the expectation and myth of virginity.
Right.
Because while I, and all experiences are valued here, mm-hmm. And everybody's experience or connection to their own body is important and worthy, but also having sex doesn't have to be the big thing that we make it, like culturally mm-hmm. and socially.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to devalue the people who wait or choose to wait or devalue the value some people put on it. But at least for me and in the world that I live in and the advice that I'm giving you, mm-hmm. it sounds like you've made the choice that you want to do this.
Yep.
that you feel like you're missing out on something. Mm-hmm. And now it's more the anxiety of having not done it
right.
than the act itself.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's great, Mia, that you have made the decision that you want to have sex. Like, and so we're going to talk about it under the assumption that you want to do this. You don't want to wait anymore, which is, I mean, what you're talking about. So like people who are waiting should and want to wait, like take this, don't need to take this advice.
Right, exactly.
But I do want to call out like the myth of virginity and how that myth just not only creates pressure on people that they feel like they need to have sex the first time with the right person and also define sex in a very prescriptive way.
Mm.
But also, I feel like it just devalues women. Like the cult of virginity was intended to devalue women because women who are not virgins are worth less than women who are, right? So like, it's not only creating all of this pressure on you, but it's also this like shitty bullshit misogynist society stuff that's also like layered on top of it. So
I'm just fist pumping silently in the background of this.
Right, but I want to recognize that like it's real and it feels real and like that's totally fine. But I also just want to like call out like it's still bullshit.
Can you talk a little bit about what you said about I want to deconstruct those two things that you just brought up. So you brought up the idea that like virginity is defined in a really small right. way. So I want you to talk about that. And then we'll unpack like sexism in one episode.
Yeah. I mean, sex doesn't have to be penis enters vagina.
Yeah.
Right. But that's
you're blowing my mind, Blackwell. You're blowing my mind.
Well, and I'm not saying this like in the straight community. Like it's also true in the gay community right. too. Like I have had so many conversations with people being like, listen, you get to define sex however you want. It doesn't have to be a penis up your butt, right?
Right, right, right.
But, like,
right.
that is how gay men, or at least the gay men that I associate with, like, define what sex is.
I remember when I first started sleeping with women having to, like, change my narrative because all of a sudden I was like, wait, did we have sex? Was that, you know, like, that felt like sex to me? And then I'd be like, no, we just, like, finger banged in the parking lot or whatever. Oh, God.
I won't make a scissoring joke, even though I do every time you talk about having sex with a woman.
Yes, you do. And I've explained to Sam so many times.
I know, but I think it's just so funny.
I know. Okay. That's fine. I consent. Anyway, just kind of like having my reality of sex sort of right. shift. So yeah, so that was the first thing I wanted to touch on.
And the concept of virginity, therefore, is like you are a virgin until a penis enters your vagina, which is like, no.
Yeah.
There's no such thing. And also, like, your idea of sex may never involve a penis in your vagina, and that doesn't mean that you are a virgin.
Come on, Sam. Let's go with that.
Feel very passionate about this.
No, I love it. Like, his eyes are turning different colors, guys. Like, he's just going there. Anyway, so I think that's really important, and that touches on, like, the myth of virginity. Just the idea that, like, it even matters. And
right.
and again, we really want to stress that if that's something you value in your life, then we love that and support that. But Mia, it sounds like you're putting it on a pedestal,
mm-hmm.
you're putting a crown on it, and you're saying, I don't know how to treat this thing that I want to treat normally.
Mm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So let's like chop that pedestal down and have you go have some disappointing sex. Like, that's what it's going to be.
Sometimes
like.
Sometimes it's great. The first time it's great for some people.
Yeah, like two of our listeners. Anyway, so that's kind of our feeling. That's our pep talk, right?
Yeah.
Of like maybe ways to like deconstruct some of the anxiety that you're feeling. And now let's talk about like ways to lose your virginity, like things to put yourself out there. I think the two routes that you kind of pose are like, do I do it with somebody that I feel comfortable with? Mm-hmm. Do I do it with a friend? In response to that, yes, that sounds great. However, sex does change things.
Yep.
It totally changes things, even if you say it's not going to change things.
Yep.
It takes a lot of communication, trust, and the right person who's able to reciprocate those two things back to you
right.
in order for sex as friends to stay, to maintain your friendships after sex.
Absolutely.
So I'm not against that, Mia, but just keep that in mind.
Yep.
If you have a friend that like, you think is fine, like, is like a good, is
fine, like hot or fine, like
both,
meh.
Both, absolutely
okay.
both, like a foin,
yeah.
and you're all right. That sounds like a perfect candidate to me, honestly. Like, take him or leave him, but you also are attractive.
For sure.
That might be somebody safe, but you also have to feel comfortable enough to say, hey, I'm a virgin
mm-hmm.
and I want to lose my virginity.
Yeah.
All right. Sure. You know, like maybe that's what we'll end on after we tell you how to date people or like to go lose your V card is just like how to feel comfortable saying that truth and how it's nothing to be ashamed of, no matter what society tells you.
Yeah. I mean, when I had butt sex for the first time.
I love that you're saying that on our podcast. I just love our podcast so much.
It was with this guy that I was like sort of dating, but he was like nice, right? Like he was, I was like, I'm not going to end up with this person for the rest of my life, but he was like just a nice person.
Yeah.
And so like was upfront about it and was like, I kind of want to do this for the first time. Is that cool with you? Like, I trust you enough to be able to like do this. And he was like, yeah, let's do it. And it was fine.
Yeah.
And then after that, I was like, okay, great. My V card is gone. Now I can like actually go have sex.
Yeah.
Because I was a firm subscriber to the virginity.
Yeah. Did somebody show up to your house with your V card certificate?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. You carry it in your wallet still?
I do. It's been
punched. Actually, it would be like they would take it away. Like
they would,
somebody would show up to your house and be like, excuse me, sir, I'm here to collect your V card. And your mom's like, oh, God, it's somewhere with this Social Security card. I've lost it. That's your mother's voice. Sam is looking
at
me.
My mom is entrusted with my V card.
Well, when you're young, you know, like you don't carry
it. I didn't carry it around, right?
All right. Well, Sam looked at me with a face of disgust that entire joke. It was amazing. Okay. So, Mia, we're saying, yes, you could lose it with somebody you sort of trust, but you just have to remember that sex is going to change things. Also, you could just date. Like you could date, like let practice like unpacking some of this societal pressure and just like go out on a couple dates and see how it feels.
Mm-hmm.
Get a couple glasses of wine, have a good time and see where the night takes you. And guess what? If it takes you to his bed, awesome. But if he turns out to be like a mediocre person, great. He served his purpose in your life.
For sure. And like don't let the pressure or this like societal pressure to tell you that you need to have sex now force you into doing something that you don't want to do. So like if you want to have sex in a relationship with someone that you really like and really trust, then wait for it. Like it will happen.
Yes, it will.
We're giving you advice on sort of how to do this in a way that is a little bit less, there's a little bit less pressure, but like if you want to wait for a relationship, go for it. Like don't let people shame you for not having sex. Like do what feels right to you and go forward with it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a great point to bring up because we are kind of assuming the purpose is just to rip up the card.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't want, you know, if you're looking for a relationship, that's okay too. It will come.
Yep.
If anything, you need to de-shame yourself.
Right?
Recognize like you're still so worthy and so attractive and such a catch.
Yep.
For reasons outside of our weird societal obsession with virgins.
Yep.
You're funny and attractive and smart and you have so much to offer and somebody is going to love you one day. Somebody probably already does.
Probably.
Yeah.
I think there's someone.
You are so worthy of love and sex and dating as is right now, regardless of how much sex you have or haven't had.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing I want to talk about before we move on, Mia, is the fear of performance.
Mm.
And you said you're afraid of not being good enough or whatever. Mia, I have been around the block.
Literally and figuratively.
Yeah. I have had sex in my day. And what I want you to know from the bottom of my slutty little heart... I don't think about performance. I haven't thought about performance in years.
Mm-mm.
So that is actually just to say like that part of your relationship to sex goes away.
Yep.
Or at least for me, it did for you too, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So like once it's over, once you cross that imaginary non-existent threshold, you no longer think about yourself as like being able to perform well. Because there's no fear. You just know that it's like this social, physical interaction. It's an exchange.
Yep.
It's an exchange of energy, of body, of touch. And then it doesn't feel like I'm doing this wrong or I don't know how to do it. You just sort of figure it out as you go.
Right. Well, and it again assumes that there's like a right and wrong way to have sex, which there isn't. Like
right.
As long as you are enjoying yourself and so is your partner or partners, like that's the thing that matters. And I will tell you that I have had sex with very experienced people. That was bad. So it's not like experience automatically leads to good
so
sex,
real.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like the best people to have sex with are the people who are responsive and
yes.
who like listen to you and like
have chemistry, right?
Exactly.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
So it's not necessarily something that comes with experience. It comes with like knowing yourself, being in tune with your partner, and just doing what feels good.
Right. So Mia, however you end up pursuing this new chapter in your life, whether it be through a one-night stand or a relationship or a dear friend or whatever you want, this is on you in an empowered way, not to take away your power. Mm-hmm. However you end up losing your virginity, just remember that this is just like any other new experience. Mm. This is just like the first day of college. This is just like starting a new job. This is just like having a conversation with somebody you've never spoken to before, mm-hmm. but in a new language.
Yep.
And so approach it with that sort of ideology, just that you're doing something new. There's no need for shame. There's no need for any self-deprecation, for waiting. You're just here because this is how long it took you to get here, and that's okay.
Yep, absolutely.
And we love you, and we want you to have like the best sex of your life ever, whenever you feel like is a good time.
Absolutely.
We love you.
We love you.
Thanks, Mia.
Great. So our next letter is from Mary, who is writing from the void. Mary writes, "I'm really into this guy. We have known each other and been casual friends for years, hooked up a few times. He is currently living in another country. While he was home for vacation, we got into a friends with benefits type situation. But once he left, he began demonstrating that he legitimately liked me and hoped for something more. In all the time I've known him, never did I think to get my hopes up with him because I thought he'd never pay any attention to me. But he did, and we sort of got relationshipy despite the distance. I had a trip coming up and visited him, but once I returned, we texted every day for a month until he said that we probably shouldn't let it go any further since we don't live in the same place. After we stopped talking, we've texted a few times and expressed our yearn to want to continue sleeping with each other. However, the last time I texted him an NSFW photo, he never replied."
That's a nude, y'all. For people who don't work.
Yeah. "He arrived in the country a few days ago, and I keep waiting for him to, I don't know, say anything that he's back for us to meet up. I really value him as a friend, although because of the situation in the past few months, I can't help but want him to express something more, since he was the one that showed romantic interest in me, which led me to allow myself to like him. I just want him to text. I'm not even mad about him not replying. It was just a little humiliating. But beyond that, this is supposed to be mutual. So even though I am not shy about texting first, in this situation, something tells me I should wait for him to approach me. What do you guys think?"
Oh, Mary, I fucking hate this dude. We love you though, Mary.
I just feel like we're everyone's like big siblings on this. Where
yeah,
they like tell us about the people
that.
In their lives and we're like, we hate them.
yeah, totally. Mary, all of your feelings, I want to just start right out the gate and say all of the feelings you're having right now are so freaking valid.
Yep.
Like, stop. First things first, stop second guessing yourself, mm-hmm. stop devaluing your feelings. Your response to all of his actions is adequate and appropriate because all of his actions have been subpar. If not hurtful, right?
No, it's so true.
If somebody sends you a naked picture, just acknowledge it, number one. Number two, don't be a shitbag person and don't ghost people.
Right? And what concerns me about this is that it's like, hey, let's be friends with benefits. And then when I leave the country, then we'll start getting into a relationship. And mm-hmm. then like before I come back, that's when the relationship ends.
Right.
Like, what? No, that's just...
Yeah, that doesn't make sense to me.
No, that's just bullshit. That's a tepid person who wants what he wants without like actually committing to anything.
Yeah. And because if he can commit to a physical friends with benefit relationship with you, he needs to be able to commit to being able to have an adult conversation with you.
Yes.
Period. Like, if
absolutely.
You can stick your dick in something, you should be able to open your mouth and make sounds with it. I'm sorry. That's like the fucking being an adult 101.
Put that on a t-shirt.
Yeah. This is like our most R-rated show yet.
Yeah. Sorry, everyone. And also, casual relationships are really great as long as like both parties agree to them and there's like good communication and you're not just like stringing someone along. So,
right.
And it's also important that to protect yourself, because it's clear that he's not setting up the right expectations
for
this.
Yeah, and it's okay to protect yourself.
Oh, absolutely.
Like you say, I allowed myself to have feelings, which we could unpack in like a whole other episode. Like you're allowed to have feelings, you're allowed to like people. You don't, you're not, I just got angry. You aren't responsible for people not hurting you. Those people are responsible for not hurting you.
Right.
Does that make sense? Like, anyway, but so Mary, it's okay to keep yourself safe, right? And to maybe not respond to his text messages or whatever.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, normally we're like a shoot your shot type people, like go for it.
But he is.
But like the shot, is it even worth it?
Yeah, I know. He sounds like a...
Like shoot for what?
Yeah.
This like tepid asshole who like doesn't want to be around you.
Yeah. And you obviously, like something in you is telling you not to trust him. So like... Listen to that voice. That voice is of an comes from an awesome, empowered woman.
Right.
And that woman's trying to help you out and live a better life.
For sure.
We so often don't listen to our own voices.
Absolutely. And also, like, even though you are making the conscious decision to not reach out to him, doesn't mean that it doesn't hurt. Right?
Yeah.
Like, it's totally legit to feel really hurt by this, even though you are making the right decision.
Right.
And it's okay. Like, embrace that hurt. Feel it. And don't blame yourself for wanting to reach out to him, even though you know it's not a good idea.
Yeah. So Sam and I are saying, we're saying maybe just don't reach out to him. We don't know the history, though, because you guys said you've been friends for years, hooked up a couple of times. Like, it sounds like maybe this actually, Sam, this relationship will need a friend breakup or a friends with benefit breakup. Meaning, like, maybe, Mary, you have to reach out to him, send him, like, a professional-esque text just saying... Hey, man, I haven't heard from you in a couple weeks. I know you're back in town. I understand that you may be busy, but I feel disrespected that you haven't responded to me the past couple weeks. I value our friendship, but I feel as though the boundaries we have crossed have become unhealthy and unsustainable. Mm-hmm. I respect you, but I'm going to put some space between us.
Yep.
Or something like that.
Yeah, I think that's also
and then,
a good idea.
And here's the kicker, Mary. You cannot... expect a response.
That's right. And also you got to stand your ground too.
Yeah.
So like he might reach back and be like, oh babe, come on. Why you got to be like this? Then you still say no.
Yeah, because he obviously, you know.
He's a toolbox basically.
Yeah. There's a couple wrenches in him. Anyway, Mary, we love you. We support you being happy. And we don't think you're going to find it with this man.
No.
Unless he does a complete 180 that sustains for a month, while he's in the same country as you and he is a really amazing friend to you without getting anything else from you. I just don't think that this is something worth pursuing again.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it seems like it either needs to be cut off or it needs to start over from scratch.
Yes.
Right? Like you're never going to go back
piece of advice.
To the point where you're ready to be friends again, because there's a lot of baggage piled onto this right
already,
now.
And you're not even in a full relationship
or a
committed monogamous one.
And so, I think you're doing the right thing by protecting yourself.
Yeah.
You could also break it off and do the diplomatic text message that Sierra talked about.
Yeah.
But it is going to take... there does need to be a clean break before I think things can come back together.
I think the last thing I want to touch on is kind of connects our two letters that just the idea of sleeping with your friends.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like so often women that I know say the line, I really value him as a friend. He's treating me poorly, but I want to maintain this friendship because we're great friends.
Oh,
and because you're sleeping together, there seems to be like, if my non-sexual friend, if my friend that I wasn't fucking treated me poorly, I would feel like I had a lot more of a right to tell them that they're hurting me than somebody that I'm sleeping with. Why is that?
I don't know, but it's true.
Right?
And it's not just a...
No, totally.
Like I have also been in that same situation.
Yeah, totally.
It just makes everything complicated in a way that...
Yeah, so Mary, I bring that up just to say, like, just remember to hold him to the standard to which you would hold him whether or not you guys were sleeping together.
Mm-hmm.
Like you deserve to be treated well as a friend, as a lover, as a woman, as a person.
Yep.
Period. And Sam and I love you, and we hope... we're sorry that this is painful, and we hope that... we hope that you can come to a really healthy resolution for yourself.
Absolutely.
We love you.
We love you.
All right. Up next, we have a letter from Emma, who is writing to us from Thailand. Emma is 41. She writes, "We dated for 1 month. We met through a mutual friend and had an instant deep connection. He said he loved me very quickly, wanted me to meet his family, and then he had to leave the country and didn't know when he would return. The last few days, his messages were sporadic and distant. The classic tale of boy meets girl, girl hesitates, boy falls hard, boy reciprocates, boy loses interest, girl is baffled and heartbroken. What did I do wrong? Will I ever meet anyone again? Am I too old? I'm competing with hot plastic girls almost half my age. I just want this feeling to fade. I want to be able to sleep without him. The end." Mm. Oh, Emma, I can feel your pain in your words mm-hmm. that you write here, your exasperation and your exhaustion. And Sam and I just want you to know, we know how hard it is to carry heartbreak around in your body and how heartbreak is so often a physical pain.
Absolutely.
That it wears on your shoulders and your heart and your chest and your legs.
Yep.
And we're really sorry that you're carrying this pain around. And we're sorry that this person painted a picture of the future mm-hmm. that included you two together, and that future didn't turn out.
Yep.
That's a really painful thing to come away from.
For sure. Yeah, it feels like you were sold a false bill of goods.
Mm.
And I think just from what I'm getting, that there's some blame in there too.
You
did something wrong to drive him away, or you believed him when you shouldn't have.
Right.
But it's not your fault.
Yeah.
It's really not.
We believe what is presented to us.
Oh, absolutely.
You know? Like, who is at fault for falling in love?
Mm.
Like, who can you blame when that happens?
Yep.
Nobody. And you can't blame anyone when you fall out either.
Yep.
It's just something that happens. We definitely want to touch on your question about you being too old to date and how you're comparing yourself to hot plastic girls almost half your age. Mm. Emma, there is no age of love. Mm. There's no age for compatibility or connection or intimacy. There is no age limit for beauty. Mm-hmm. And no matter how much garbage that the society or culture shoves down our throat about yep. how women should look as they age or how people should look, there is no future in treating yourself like that, Emma. Mm. There's no future in speaking to yourself like that.
Yep.
And before you can open your heart to somebody else, I need you to know that you are beautiful right now, as is, without anyone else beside you to reflect their beauty upon you. Mm. You are 100% worthy of love and affection and attention, and your body has taken you through this whole world. This body has taken you from day one to year 41, right? Like, this, your body is this vessel that you have been blessed with.
Mm-hmm.
And that body is really, really, really worth loving and receiving love.
Oh, man. Woo!
Sorry, Sam.
That was great. I was like, I'm just going to let Sierra keep going with the affirmations because she is crushing it.
Also, Emma, like, some people just aren't meant for us.
Right.
And comparison is an act of violence against yourself. I think mm-hmm. Eleanor Roosevelt says that.
Sure.
I will find out, though. just that idea that, like, if you want to compare yourself to other people, imagine that act of comparison as an act of violence, that you are hurting yourself actively, mm-hmm. that no good comes from that. And that is not, as I like would say, like, fertile ground for self-love. Like, you can't. Mm. You can't plant seeds there for growth or relationships or intimacy or love if the soil is not nurturing or barren or filled with self-harm. Like, mm-hmm. you deserve this love from yep. yourself. Like, screw this other person. You deserve to love yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's like RuPaul says.
Right.
If you can't love yourself, how the hell are you going to love somebody else?
How the hell, right?
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
But it's true. I mean, everything that Sierra is saying right now, like, is 100%
right.
Right. like, I'm just sitting here letting you take this on because, like, you're saying all of the right things. And I just, I'm feeling them.
Yeah, totally.
And well, I hope that Emma is too.
Yeah. I think it's just so human to feel not good enough and to feel ugly.
Yep.
And to feel inadequate.
Yep.
But again, like, the more we actively do that head and heart work to realize that each of us individually are unique and beautiful and worthy of love with all of our differences, then the world will be a lot less of a hostile place.
For sure.
And that hostility will disappear most within ourselves.
Right.
Right.
And we're, I mean, we are getting it from all directions all the time that we are not worthy, that we are not doing things the right way, that we are not as good as other people, right? We're getting it through social media. We are getting it through, like, Goop. That's like, if you're not shoving jade eggs up your vagina, you're, like, not doing it right. So, like, it's very normal
that
to have...
That is a Gwyneth Paltrow thing that I bet 20% of our listeners will get.
Are people not as enmeshed in Gwyneth Paltrow as I am?
Nope, not at all. Okay. Just needed to clarify that. Some of it, like, so, 90% of your references are so spot on, but that one I was like, oh God, they're not good.
Okay, I'm sorry. So Gwyneth Paltrow has a lifestyle blog called Goop, and it's awful, unless you really like it, and then it's great.
Stick to your convictions.
But it's all about how, like, we are not, like, the only way to be happy, healthy, and whole is to, like, meditate 18 times every day, to buy, like, $1,000 of... like, high-priced stuff, to only eat the right foods, to, and it's just, it's unfortunate and it's sad to me that we are constantly telling ourselves that, like, the only way to be happy, healthy, and whole is to look beautiful all the time.
Right.
Or only eat the right food all the time. Or be attractive to other people all the time. And, like, that's not what being happy, healthy, and whole is, right?
Yeah, that's not our purpose on earth.
Right, exactly. And your purpose comes from within. It comes from you.
Right.
So comparing yourself to others is just sort of distracting you from that purpose that you have.
Right. And I also want to say, too, like, speaking to the digital age where we can see and document everything and everyone.
Right.
The internet lies. Like, if anybody follows me on Instagram, like, my life is not the way it looks there. That's a small sliver of a curated sliver of my life.
Oh, for sure. I live with her, so I can tell you that she doesn't look like that all the time.
No, not at all. You petty little bitch. But so just, like, you know, that just remember, like, every single person you see, Emma, those hot, quote, hot plastic girls you see are just as multifaceted and complicated and messy as you are. That all of us contain so many multiples. We contain multiple whole identities within us, and we only present one, two, maybe three of those selves to other people.
That's right.
So, Emma, we want you to know that you are loved, that you are worthy of love, and we are sorry that your most recent love didn't work out, but we know in our hearts, in our body, that you deserve more love in the future.
Absolutely.
We love you, Emma.
Great. Our last question comes from Anonymous, and they are writing from somewhere east. And they write, I have been with my husband for 4.5 years, and we have been married for almost 2. Like all relationships, in the beginning, everything was great and completely blissed out. We moved in together after 9 months, and he popped the question a couple of months later. After a few years of waking up to the same person every day, you feel like you genuinely know them. You know their favorite snacks, their favorite shirt, how long they brush their teeth, and exactly how many times they hit the snooze button in the morning. You think you know someone so well until a bomb drops. A few weeks ago, I received a text from a number I didn't know stating that they were my husband's ex and that they had been talking back and forth for a while. He had sent her explicit photos right before our wedding and tried to meet up with her. I chalked it up as a mistake and in the past and let it go, but she kept going. She made me aware of issues he had with porn and with sexual activities that I would never be okay with. While I don't hate on anyone's preferences, I am pretty vanilla and always have been. Stating that he used to have tons of it on his computer at a compulsive level. Again, I don't think a lot of it because men and porn are usually a mutually exclusive thing. I hate it, but it happens. One day, a text came up on his phone and I was looking up parts for him to order online and it was from her. She was sending links to him of her favorite pornos, etc. I then did what everyone says not to. I went to his browser history. Lo and behold, it was all porn. Everywhere. I was baffled. And the text string between them wasn't just two old friends reminiscing. It was full-on sexting. When I confronted him, he immediately went on the defensive and said he had a sex addiction and couldn't help it. But to me, it felt like a cop-out. I love him, and we've been trying to have children for months now. But I can't get that out of my head. Mm. I can't stop thinking about what if this continues? What if we have children and he's doing this? I grew up in a broken home and I vowed not to bring children into the same atmosphere. Is a marriage like this worth salvaging? Am I foolish to think that he can change even though he doesn't really see the ramifications of his actions?
Mm. Anonymous, this is a really intense letter. Mm-hmm. And we can tell you that you're going through something really painful right now.
Absolutely.
And so I think Sam and I and everybody listening, we're just collectively sending you our good energy.
Absolutely.
Because I know the magnitude of this heartache right now extends outside of yourself, outside of your body, and into your home,
right.
Your future, your plan, you know, right. your bills,
right.
Things like that. So we just want to acknowledge that first before we get into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think for me, what's so painful about this letter is just the sort of multiple levels of lying that
mm-hmm,
are happening,
mm-hmm.
right? It's one thing to be sexting your ex, but it's another thing to be caught in that and then sort of go on the defensive and not be able to apologize for your actions, right? And that's what gives me pause in this, because it just seems like the culpability that he has hasn't been acknowledged and so it doesn't make me feel like the behavior is going to change.
Right.
Right.
Us as outsiders, Anonymous, there's nothing you've given us that makes it sound like he took accountability for his actions.
Mm-hmm.
Even apologized or comforted you. Like,
right.
Perhaps he did, but like, if that wasn't front and center, that he betrayed your trust, and really, you know, like, I'm not trying to judge or assume anyone's actions, but if they're sexting, then I would fear more, right?
Yep.
And I'm not a huge, like, conspiracy theorist when it comes to adultery or infidelity, but
yep.
This is your husband, and you're trying to have children, and mm-hmm. you are not under an agreement, you don't have an open relationship, and he's behind your back, like, having sexual conversations with another woman. Like, that's just 100% unacceptable if that is the parameters you've set on your relationship, and it sounds like it is.
Absolutely. There is something to say about society encouraging us not to talk about sex and sexuality and the things that we are into, and that may be some of what's coming up here, too, is that maybe he doesn't feel like he has space to be able to talk about the things that he's
right.
into,
and has found... admit that you were sexually vanilla, which right. is all right. Everybody has their preference.
For sure. And that, you know, he found this outlet with the ex to talk about porn and talk about sex. The issue here is that there was no communication with you about
right.
this, right?
Right.
Like, we don't want to say that people can't have extramarital relationships that are happy and healthy, right?
Right.
But in this, the fact that he didn't communicate that with you
right.
is just, it's unacceptable. To be able to betray you in that way
right.
is just heartbreaking.
Right. And we know that you are trying to have children, you're trying to salvage this or rebuild it, but if he's unable to stay in that conversation, like, so he's saying that he has a sex addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. So what accountability steps has he taken since admitting that to you to
right.
work on that? Or
right.
what is your to... Like, what is your accountability plan, right?
Right.
Like,
that's right.
Moving forward, how are you going to deal with this? Because this type of behavior or this type of addiction,
yep.
Anonymous, doesn't go away in the shadows.
For sure.
In fact, it grows and multiplies and becomes even more harmful in the shadows, because that's where shame and isolation
Absolutely.
Also grow.
Yep.
And so we're pretty... We're on Team Anonymous right now. We're pretty upset with this person who hurt you and betrayed you, but we also understand he must be experiencing some pretty extreme, unhealthy or toxic toxicity within himself
yeah.
right now to betray his partner like this.
Mm-hmm.
And we're really hoping, we're not saying that this relationship cannot be salvaged, but it's going to take a lot of hard work, and beyond hard work and accountability, beyond hard work and communication, it's going to take physical, tangible, accountable acts.
Right.
Does that make sense? Like, this means couples therapy. This means sitting down and having really uncomfortable, open conversations about sex.
Yep.
Are there things that you two could be doing that would make this relationship feel a little bit more authentic?
Yep.
If that doesn't feel authentic to you, Anonymous, you have the right to say no to that.
Yep.
We just feel like it's a lot of times we need people to say the things that we see but aren't really willing to admit.
Right.
So I think Sam and I just want to say to you, there are a lot of levels of betrayal going on here.
That's right.
And we want you to see it.
Yep.
We're not saying you don't, but this breaks our heart. We hurt for you.
It does. And I think my issue is that it seems like he's not seeing it,
right?
He's not seeing the levels of betrayal and heartbreak that are going on. And I don't think that any relationship that has had betrayal in it can be salvaged without the person who did something wrong creating space for the recognition of the hurt that they caused. So I'm totally on board with accountability, right? Couples therapy, all of that. But until he's able to see you and the pain that you are going through, like I would be nervous about whether or not that is actually going to be something that can be saved.
Yeah. And like one more thing about the accountability, just in terms of if he truly does have a sex addiction, there are resources specifically for that because it is an addiction.
Yep.
So we just want to put that out there as well. And you know, Anonymous, I grew up in the midst of a divorce. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't call it a broken home by any means, but my parents had an unhealthy relationship, which ended when I was a child. And so I don't think that's the end all be all of relationships, meaning like if this relationship ends and you happen to have a child with him, like that child is going to be loved regardless of what their parents' relationship looks like.
Yep.
But what I'm wondering is, can you sit down and imagine a world in which you can heal from this?
Mm.
Like sit down and think, what do I need for me to be able to live without this betrayal in my body?
For sure.
What work do I need to do? What does he need to do? And then you can decide, only you can decide if that is something you want.
Yep.
B, a possibility. And then if those two things align, C, what are the steps that I need to be taken?
Absolutely.
Or need to take myself or from him.
Yep.
Because this is whack behavior. It's absolutely unacceptable.
Yep.
And you don't deserve your relationship to be tarnished like this.
Absolutely.
But it has been. And so now it's about accountability and moving forward.
For sure. And in answer to your last question, right, you're not a foolish person.
No.
You can't. No, there. When you are blindsided by something like this, there's absolutely no way to be able to react in a right or wrong way, right? You just are reacting, you're feeling. And so you're not the one who's foolish, right? He did something that you weren't expecting, and now you are doing the work of trying to figure out how you deal with that.
Right.
And that you can't expect yourself to know exactly what the right thing to do is.
Right. And let me actually talk about porn for a second.
Oh, great. Okay.
Because you write in here, Anonymous, that like porn and men kind of go hand in hand. And I want to push back on that just a little because for a greater purpose than just pushing back on that. I think that porn is a very interesting industry. I think it's existed for way longer than we all know it has. That the act of like watching other people have sex has existed for eons.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's actually more universally consumed by all genders than we assume, right?
Mm-hmm.
However, it is totally catered towards men and heteronormativity, and it is fed off of sexism, racism, a ton of unhealthy things. Like we were talking in our last letter about like society's projection on women's bodies and what we have to look like and beauty and things like that.
Right.
But the one thing I want to say, other than like the more universal consumption of it, is that like I think porn helps to falsely educate people about what sex is like.
Ooh,
right.
Yes.
'Cause it's so
unrealistic.
Yeah. But also like, I don't know. It's just, it's just unrealistic. It just doesn't, it is like the textbook of the body, but with like half of the chapters ripped out, you know?
Oh, for sure. Well, it's also like sanitized and sterile. And
yeah.
It's like dirty for sure, but it's also like, you know, no one has, like, there
pubic
are no
hair.
Like, right, exactly. There yeah. are no like fluids that come out.
Right.
Like everyone is perfectly primed
like
and ready for sex.
In weird positions right? like, that I don't feel comfortable
just,
in.
Sometimes just like randomly appear on penises, right? Like,
but in reality, sex is uncomfortable and messy
right.
and intimate and more importantly, so are conversations about sex.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like having the encyclopedia of sex out there for people to click, you know, one click away in the privacy of their own home and shame. Like your husband has obviously been watching this in this own isolated like shame mm-hmm. bubble.
Right.
It doesn't encourage us to have active conversations with our partners
right.
about what we want, what our desires are, where our boundaries are. But instead we get all of our sex education from porn, right? And I just want to like push back on that idea a little that porn can be a really negative, toxic thing
yep.
in people's lives, especially when they don't have a healthy relationship with sex. Porn is
right.
not the enemy. However, it adds extra knives to the fight, I guess.
That's right. Yep. And again, it's about continuing to have that conversation and continuing to be in communication with each other about sex, which he clearly was not doing.
Yeah.
And I think, again,
yeah.
that is the issue at the heart of this, is that he was not forthright with you
and
about
I,
what he was doing, who
yeah.
he was talking to, what he was watching.
And the hardest thing to say is I don't think this is the extent of it.
Yeah.
And if you're trying to build a future with this person anonymous, I think there's more skeletons in the closet.
Absolutely.
And
it's going to take work for you to dig those skeletons
yeah.
out, come to grips with them, and then
yeah.
decide what you want to do. And so
and you can do that work. We believe in you.
Absolutely.
But right now we're just standing with you, like, in like letting you see all of this.
Right. We're,
and
we
standing
wanna,
beside you.
For sure. We want to create space, not just for us to help you figure out what's next, but just to put a bubble around you right now to let you feel
right.
this betrayal and how hurt you are, because we are feeling it with you right now.
Right. Right. Absolutely. Anonymous, I know this is incredibly personal and incredibly weighted in your life, but we hope that brings you any solace or comfort or,
absolutely.
If anything, just solidarity.
Yeah, and thank you for trusting us with this vulnerable letter and with the pain that you're going through.
Yeah, you deserve a whole and honest relationship.
Absolutely.
We love you.
We love you.
All right, y'all. Thanks so much for writing in this episode.
Ooh. I feel like we need to take a deep breath before we go into this outro.
Yeah.
Oh, all
right,
we're
y'all.
Good. We're all we're feeling
here.
Good.
We're here.
Absolutely.
We're queer. We're making a podcast. All right, y'all. Every episode, we'd like to shout out something we want to send you home with. This is called the blind date. This week, we're going to set you up with.
So my favorite artist in the whole world, Robin.
Me? Oh, just kidding.
Sorry, my favorite musical artist
Thank
in the
you.
Whole world.
Thank you.
Robin just dropped a new song on the 1st of August called Missing You. And
tell me
is...
why you love Robin so much.
So Robin was just a very transformative artist in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Robin was, came out, her Body Talk, which was the last album that she released on her own, came out 8 or 10 years ago, which was right around the time that I was first like coming to terms with what it meant to have a gay identity.
Mm.
And not just be like, oh, I'm into boys, but like, oh, I am a gay man functioning in a world that is heteronormative,
mm-hmm.
right? And being able to find community with other queer people. And Robin was just such a big part of that, because it was coming out at that time. It was playing in all the bars that I was going to. It was playing at the dance parties that
mm-hmm.
my friends and I were having.
You felt seen by her.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, listening to Robin's lyrics, it's this amazing like pop music, right? It's danceable, but the lyrics themselves are just so full of things that are wonderful and profound, like longing, like heartbreak, like insecurities, like what it means to be a badass. And it's just, I think she just sends such wonderful, positive energy
mm-hmm.
into the world, but also is very real. And I just really, was so excited to see.
This is the most genuine blind date Sam has given y'all yet.
Seriously.
So you gotta go listen.
I just love Robin. And so this new song came out, and it was just immediately, I was back there 8 to 10 years ago
yeah.
and like just felt like, oh, this is what it's like to hear new music from this woman that I love. And the lyrics of the song are sad, but it's so dancey.
That's really cute.
So yes, check out Robin. Check out all of her work. I love all of it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Really cute.
Thank you. Thank you for letting me go on my rants about Robin. So, you can like us on Facebook, and you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Just Break Up Pod.
You can also slide into our DM, send us your favorite relationship meme. But most importantly, you can submit your questions about all matters of the heart at justbreakuppod.com.
Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and to please leave us a 5-star rating and a review.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to call out some people
to thank for today.
Awesome.
We want to say thanks to DBurk116, to Racha41 or 4L, to Anna May, smiley face, to TM McKay, and to Chet Mix with a T.
Love it.
Yeah. Thank you all so much for giving us a 5-star rating and review.
Awesome. It helps us keep the lights on, and it helps us reach more heartbroken souls who need two random strangers giving them relationship advice.
Original music recording, editing, and producing by our friend Big Cats. Make sure to check out his podcast, the What If Podcast. And remember, every day we're told to be somebody that we aren't. Every day we're told that our bodies are too big or too loud or too bumpy or too messy. Every day we're told that how we love is too big or too loud or too bumpy or too messy. Every day we're told to fit into a box that society subscribes to us. And the reality is life will become instantly happier once you realize that that box doesn't exist. That box is a made-up construct in your head, and that you are actually free to be whoever and however you want. That your love, your body, your sex can look exactly how you want it to be. There's no one who can name or title you. There's nothing that can contain you. You are worthy of a healthy, wonderful, honest love with other people, but most importantly, with yourself. And if all else fails,
just break up.